We continue in the second parak of Maseches Klayim, and today we are learning Mishnayos Hey and Vav of Maseches Klayim. So the Mishnah teaches us: if your field is planted with is sown with cumin or oluf, or instead of kanbos, there's luf. Luf is arum or something like that. Some type of that's how the Kahati translates it, arum. Some type of onion. Lo yezareya uba al gabeim. You're not allowed to go plant another min on top of them. Meaning, since we learned back in Mishnah Gimel that if your field is planted with chitim and you decide that instead you want to plant zaorim, you have to wait until it's matalia. And we said, how long does it take for it to be matalia? So we said it takes 3 days in moist ground. So our Mishnah is coming to tell us that kanvus and luv, it doesn't help to wait just 3 days until it's matalia and then to be hofich the karka with a plow in order to plant something else, because these plants are fundamentally different than others. Shein anosne elu l'shaloshanim, because they only produce crops after 3 years. Sometimes they're not going to sprout until after 3 years, because the hatla'a, that the rooting that it takes in the ground, takes 3 years long. So some of them aren't going to take root for a long time. That's how the Bar Tanura and the Rash and the Ravid and Tiferes Yisrael all explain the Mishnah. The Rambam has a different explanation of this line, but we're not going to get into the Rambam's explanation. Tavur sha'alu basvichei istis. If you have grain that some aftergrowth of istis came up. What are svichim in general, and what is istis? So both very important things to know over here. A svichach is that sometimes things grow on their own. How do things grow on their own without seeds? No, there are seeds, but usually when you're harvesting the crop from the previous year, it could be that some of the seeds just fall on the ground, and then by nature it just sprouts the following year. So that's called a svichach. And istis is a type of a growth that produces a dye that's similar to tcheles, but it's very damaging to grain to have this dye. So the Mishnah is telling you that if in your grain field svichei istis happen to grow, v'chein makom agranos, or if in the place where you thresh your grain and your beans, shalu ben minim harbe, where there are all sorts of different types of beans and grains that are growing there that are only going to get in the way of your threshing. You'd much rather have a flat threshing floor, but it's just natural that seeds are going to come out during the time of threshing, and you're not going to sweep all of them up, and they're going to take root in the ground. So you have all different types of things growing and ruining your threshing floor. V'chein tiltan, or if you have a tiltan, which is generally used as animal fodder, shehel minitzmachim, that starts to sprout in the field, ain mechayv nosa l'nakish. So then we don't require a person to weed them out, because one of the rules of klayim is that it's only going to be klayim if it's noachlo, if the person is happy to have it growing there. But when you're not interested in the kiyum of the klayim, you're not interested in it being there, then it's not going to be an isser of klayim. Im nikesh o kisach omrim lo akoras hakol chutz mimin echad. But if the guy started weeding it out or cutting down the weeds, then we tell him, look, you got to get rid of all of it except for one min, meaning you can't keep klayim growing there. Meaning we said that if it's the type of thing that you're not happy about it growing there, so then it's not going to be a problem with klayim. Yes, that's certainly true. It's not going to be a problem with klayim if you're not happy about it growing there. But once you start weeding it out and you only weed out part of it and you leave other stuff behind, well then maybe that tells me that you are happy about it growing there, and therefore at that point you're going to have to weed out the entire thing. Harotza Mishnah Vav, Harotza Lasso Sadeu Meshar Meshar Mikolmin. A person wants to lay out his field in long straight rows, each planted with a different species. So you want to, now since each row is going to be planted with a different species, you have to make sure that there's enough distance between them that they shouldn't constitute klayim one with the other. But you just want to make long rows, so one long row of wheat and one long row of barley and one long row, whatever, different types of items. So Beshami, so how far apart do the rows have to be? Beshamram shlosha tlamim shel pasiach. Beshame says three furrows of newly broken land, which means the width of three furrows of newly broken land, which you would normally use when you were plowing to open up the ground. So that's what it means. So you have to make a space in between them that would be the space of three rows of three furrows of plowing that you would normally do. Beisil amrim melo ha'ol ha'sharoni, and Beisil says it's got to be the space between them is the width of a Sharoni yoke. which is the awl that they would plow with in Sharon, which is a place. So it's the lowest part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's a wider yoke than they would use in a mountain, because the oxen that would plow in a mountain have to be packed more closely together, more tightly together. But the oxen that that are going to plow in the flat plains and the valleys don't have to be so close together, and therefore they could have a much wider yoke on their back. So that's the space that you need to put between one and the other. Ukrovin divrei lios kedivrei elu. It happens to be, even though this is machlokas Beisham and Beisilel, there's not a whole lot of difference practically between them. The Beisilel and the Beisham are saying almost the same thing. The shear of shlosh tlam shel pasiach is very close to the shear of Lo ha'ol ha'sharoni. The Yerushalmi says, and what is that shear? Meaning, okay, they're close, but what is it exactly? So Yerushalmi says it's about 2 amos by 2 amos, and as long as at the edges, at the ends of each row, you have that kind of space in between them, it can narrow, the space in between them can narrow as you go down the row, because the revach that you have at the tip of the field is mochiach, that you're not planting them be'irvovia, that you're not planting them mixed with each other, and that each row is considered its own independent field. So these shiurim that we're giving are only for the edges of the field. So to quickly summarize what we learned today, so in Mishnah Hay we learned that there are certain types of plants where you can't just wait 3 days and then uproot it and plant something else there. It's it takes 3 years for them to take root. And we also learned that if you have things that clearly you would not want growing in your field, it's not going to be a problem of kalayin, to even though you don't, you're not uprooting them, because it's obvious that you don't want those things growing in your field, like the kind of dye root that's going to ruin your grain. And then in Mishnah Vav we learned that if you want to plant a field with each row having a different min in it, so Beisham and Beisil both give a shear of how much space you need to leave between the different minim, and those two shiurim that Beisham and Beisil give are really very close to each other in terms of the size that they are. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Perek Bey's Mishnah Zayin.